Last Friday, Turkey's currency plunged dramatically, and as of last night, $1 would buy almost 7 Turkish lira. This is the cheapest the lira has ever been against the U.S. dollar. The stock prices of European banks also dropped on Friday, while currencies in countries including China, Brazil, and Mexico also weakened. But what exactly is leading to this instability, and what are the political dangers? Here to tell us more is Landon Thomas, a financial reporter for The New York Times. Landon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So what are we seeing in Turkey? I mean, why has the lira taken such a tumble? And tell us what prompted that.
Well, there's been a buildup here. There's been a lot of fear and anxiety in financial markets about the health of the Turkish economy, buildup in foreign debt. And there's been a slow buildup of anxiety and the currency's been reflecting that. And then you had Erdogan and Trump getting into a battle. And it just started to pick up speed. And it's an easily traded currency. A lot of people trade it for just to articulate views about where Turkey is going. And the past couple of days, it's really picked up.
So I wanted to ask you, is this a side effect of foreign debt and investment? Because in your piece in the New York Times, you actually talk a little bit about how much money was invested in Turkey when it was a hot economy. And I'm wondering if this is a side effect of that, particularly foreign investment.
Well, I mean, yes, there's been a lot of investment, but as with a lot of crisis hotspots dating back to Asian crises and Russian crises, the investing has been boom-like in terms of property. And if you walk around Istanbul, you'll just see skyscrapers everywhere, shopping malls everywhere. Compared to 10 years ago, it's a totally different picture. And that has been financed by cheap dollars. And I think that's a point that the skeptics make, not just about Turkey, but about the world as a whole, that since central banks started pumping money into the global financial system post-crisis, a lot of this money has seeped into high-yielding economies like Turkey and financing property development and property booms. But it's not just Turkey. It's all over the world.
So, I mean, I feel like we're seeing that here in New York even.
I mean, just walk around, right?
It's skyscraper after skyscraper after skyscraper. Yeah. We're seeing it in major cities. But is that indicating, I mean, at least in the city we've heard here in New York, that this could potentially be a bubble? Are we talking about a bubble in Turkey and beyond?
I mean, I think you already have a property. Is it a bubble? Who knows? But it's certainly a boom that has lasted too long. And I think, again, Turkey is going to go through a existential crisis of some sort. But the real question is whether or not the growth of real estate and all that, whether that is going to, you're going to see that throughout. And like you see in New York City and China and Brazil, I think that's what the real skeptics, the super bears are putting forward. And, you know, I don't know, the jury is still out, but you're right. You walk around New York City, you see skyscrapers everywhere. And that is a consequence of just tons of cheap money and easy debt. And Turkey, as one guy has said, is the canary in the coal mine, at least in his view in that regard.
And in terms of them being a potential bubble or having the potential to need a bailout, which is something else that you've mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, I think inevitably Turkey will need, unless it takes the tough steps, this is, you know, a crisis that plays out everywhere. It played out in Greece. It's played out in Argentina. It's played out in Thailand and Russia. When you overdo it, you have to put on the brakes. And that means stopping spending, increasing interest rates, and stop building skyscrapers. You know, it's a clear prescription of what to do. And the IMF is the bad guy in this regard. And they say, if you want money and if you want to get bailed out, this is what you have to do. But whether the Turkish government would do that, because there is some humility that comes along with that. So that's a big question. Right there.
Well, there's also not just humility, but there's also the potential, I think, for many other. You mentioned the canary in the coal mine. Are other countries? We just, and in the introduction, we said even the U.S. stock market took a little dent on Friday. Is this the beginning of what could be a worldwide crisis?
That's the big question. And I am not going to give you a yes or no there because I just don't know. And I don't think anyone knows. And there'll be people who will say, no way, absolutely no way. And there'll be some people who say yes. But I think the jury is still out.
So let's talk. We've got about 30 seconds left. Erdogan and Trump, both strongman leaders. Trump has now inflamed a little bit the sensitivities there with threatening tariffs. What do you see going forth there?
I think you would hope that cooler heads prevail. The Turkish-American relationship is deep. It is multi-generational. It is profound. And I think it really does go beyond what politicians may be saying on a given day. And I think that ultimately cooler heads will prevail and you won't get into a worst-case scenario of sanctions. That's my baseline thought here. There's just no way.
Landon Thomas, financial reporter for the New York Times. Landon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.